Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
And here's the next one. Soñar un mundo perfecto. Let me start again, actually. For the judges, can we start again? Hello, my name is Brittany Broski. Today I opened with O Lacrimosa by Amadeus Mozart, and I will segue into The Prayer by Andrea Bocelli and Celine Dion. I will be singing the Italian part. Thank you. Can my editor put like a really nice reverb on this so it sounds like I'm in a church? Ready? Sogniamo un mondo senza più violenza, un mondo di giustizia, di speranza. Ognuno di la mano sul vicino, simbolo di pace, di fraternità. That was good. You can't even say that wasn't fucking great. La forza che ci dà il desidero, ognuno trovi amore intorno dentro. I don't remember how it goes. E la fede che hai accesso a noi, sento che ci salverò. Okay, I'm done. I had a Red Bull. Hey guys, I don't know if you can tell, I had a Red Bull. I had a double espresso and a Red Bull, and I thought, surely opera's not that fucking hard. And I literally Googled the lyrics, and I listened to Lacrimosa twice. And that shit, the Andrea Bocelli, The Prayer, I've had that shit memorized since I was a teenager. It was around the same time. I have a theory, genuinely, that we are our 16-year-old selves. Like, to the core, we are who we were at 16. We have the same interests. We have the same mannerisms. We do the same bullshit. We're the same weirdos that we were when we were in high school. That's literally, I have not grown up. Okay? My body and my back have, but I have not grown up. I have the same passions and interests. Also, do you guys like my Frankenstein hoodie? Guillermo del Toro! I have the same interests that I did when I was 16. And when I was 16, I memorized the French national anthem in French. And then I also memorized The Prayer by Celine Dion. And she also has another song in Italian called Amore Inosconuto. And my pronunciation is probably horrific, but because I learned it myself. Because I literally wrote down the phonetic pronunciations and I did that shit. Seriously, guys. What if I went back to school? Would you guys be mad? Maybe it's not the time. Maybe I'm going to give it till I'm 30. And when I hit 30, I'm going back to school. Okay? I've made up my mind. Maybe. I've made up my mind indefinitely. Indecisively. Indubitably. Shut the fuck up. Okay. What are we doing today? Guys, something happened over this past weekend. And also, just to put it out there right now, there is a royal court guest coming up this week that you guys are going to shit your fucking pants. You guys are going to shit your pants because I shitted in mine. Like there was something in my undies after we filmed. I genuinely think this is like one of the most fun ones to date. And I think you guys are going to get your fucking life. I'm so excited for you to see it. Also, Finn Wolfhard, we had him on last week. Fantastic. We've got some amazing guests coming up the next 2 weeks. So I need you guys to strap the fuck in. Strap in. Okay. We've also got some new broski merch dropping soon, so be prepared for that. Okay, here's what I wanted to talk about. This is unfortunately, or no, this is fortunately going to be the woo-woo episode. So fucking strap in, get your panties out of a wad, sit down, and listen to what I have to say, because something magical happened over the past weekend. And by the way, is my lip rash back? Yeah, it is. So if you see me dicking with it, it's because it itches and I need to put my ointment on. Okay. So sorry, just get used to it. I have things growing on my body. Okay. I'm kind of like one of those, you know, part of the crew, part of the ship, part of the crew, part of the ship. You remember those nasty, like dead, moldy, barnacle ridden, dead members of Davy Jones' crew. Davy Jones' crew. Part of the crew, part of the ship. That's how I feel today. Yeah, dude. I feel like fucking Hammerhead Shark, dude. Yeah. God, these movies are so good. I'm sorry to say it. And we're on pirates.fandom.com/wiki, by the way. Okay, these fuckos, trust me, dude, this is today's energy. Today's energy is very, like, barnacle brain, hammerhead shark body. Like, I'm feeling very at one with nature, and I feel like there's lichen growing on me. Does that make any sense to anybody? Last week I said I was giving beluga whale. This week I'm giving fucking Davy Jones. So do with that what you will. I got my NASA calendar on the wall. It still says August. Need to change that shit to, where are we right now? February? Who knows? Part of the crew, part of the ship. I got a jar of dirt. I got a jar of dirt. And guess what's inside it? If you don't want it, give it back. No. God, that movie's so good. Okay. It's the woo-woo episode. This past weekend was the Beaver Moon in Taurus. And let me go ahead and Google that to make sure I got it right. Beaver Moon in Taurus. Actually, my lip's driving me fucking crazy. I'm actually going to go get my ointment. Are y'all going to be upset if I go and get my ointment? I'll be right back. Well, I'm back and I'm bearing gifts. First of all, my tacrolimus ointment, 0.1%. Next, the book that we're going to talk about. Okay? Guys, happy to be alive. Can everyone take a deep breath for me? Hold. And release. And one more. In for three, hold for three, out for three. In for three, hold for three, out for three. Wow, doesn't that feel great? Okay, everyone shut the hell up. Here's what we're talking about today. It was a beaver moon. And if you see shit around my mouth, it's just my ointment. The beaver moon. And I'm not going to do AI overview. We're actually going to go to animamundiherbals.com. It's a blog. Any woo-woo girl with a blog, I kind of trust. And this is an apothecary? Yeah. On November 5th, which was last week, the dialectic of desire between Taurus and Scorpio ignites our atmosphere with the Taurus full moon, which I don't even claim to understand how all the shiftings of the moon and positioning of the moon, how that affects or what it is, because when I think of Taurus season or something in a Taurus moon, then it's like May. Anyways, when Mars is in Uranus, I don't know what the planets are doing. They're sucking, licking on each other. I don't fucking know. We're going to read this. This lunation, I like that word, lunation, could bring all sorts of temptations and possibilities of adventure our way with a strong bias towards doing something unexpected. Mars opposite Uranus could push us over the edge into riskier territory than usual, which may be just what we need to break with stale patterns of thought and behavior. On the other hand, a serious consideration of where our actions may lead us is also warranted as Mercury prepares to station retrograde on November 9th. Okay, that was yesterday. Signifying a second look at our actions or the unearthing of previously unknown information. Okay, so basically what me and my friend, I had a girls' weekend this past weekend with some of my college besties, and it was so restorative and so amazing. And I'm always coming on to this fucking Shure microphone and telling y'all to book the girls' trip book the girls trip. I'm serious. Like, get them together and don't just do like, let's go out. Have some quality time. So this past weekend, me and the girls were in Maine. Maine is a beautiful state. We had a damn blast. All the leaves were so beautiful. There was one moment we were all driving in the car to go get lobster. Do I like lobster? No. Did I buy a bunch of shit with lobsters on it? Yeah, I did. Because it's for the memories. We were driving in the car to go get lobster, and the leaves are all beautiful, and it's like blowing in the wind. We were right by this lake, and we're all in the car together, jammed packed, because there's six of us. And my friend Steph, we call her Shrek. Shrek is driving, and we were listening to Doechii, and I was just like, what else could you need? It's going to make me cry again. I love my friends. How lucky am I? Okay. We were on a girls' trip. And all of us, I would say pretty much all of us, we're on a spectrum of like super woo-woo to, all right, what is this? All right, I'll dabble. Whoa. You know what I mean? Like that's the spectrum. I'm somewhere in the middle. My friend Emily led us through this like oracle card pulling. And oracle's kind of new to me. Drew and Dace talk about oracle cards, and I've never... I don't know why I always gravitate towards tarot. Maybe that's just because tarot feels more familiar. Like it's the same cards in every deck, or at least I think. With Oracle, I know they can be kind of different depending on the deck. And, you know, whatever you need is whatever you pull, whatever. We all did an Oracle card pulling and therefore kind of a reading. But you go into the Oracle card with like a certain question in mind. And if you don't have a question, then it's what do I need to know? And dude. Y'all, each one of us went in so open-minded and so like locked in. Like we were serious to what the possibilities could be. When I tell you, each one of us got such a specific reading of exactly what we needed to hear. I don't like, look, dude, I know it's a spectrum of like how woo-woo you can get. Shit like that really pushes you towards the edge of like, we are so powerful. And I think also just all of us women being together, being open with each other. And as we would pull, we would talk about it. You know, like my friend Emily led it and then we would sit across from her and then she would be like, what's coming up for you? And we would talk about it. And that brings you closer, you know, and all the girls in the room would be like, It's just so good. It's so cute. And all of us cried, of course. And then at the end of the night, my friend Alyssa led us into kind of explaining what the Beaver Moon is. And basically she said there's two paths. One is letting go. So we were journaling. We were writing our shit down. And the Oracle card is kind of to help you like a thought starter or to kind of answer a question if you hit a roadblock in journaling or whatever. And she said that one option is release. Letting go. Write down all the things that you plan on letting go that no longer serve you, that are maybe weighing you down, things that are out of your control that you try to bring into your, you know, sphere of control. Write it down and burn it. Release it. And we all did this under the moon. There was a big, beautiful moon in Maine. We were right by the water and listening to the ocean and just like doing this. And then the other option was to operate from an abundance mindset. And this is something, I mean, I'm really like going deep with y'all here. That was kind of what I gravitated towards because I genuinely think that is how you should navigate life. Like I operate from a place of abundance. I will always be okay. My friends will always be okay. We will be taken care of. My friends, family, our health, like everything will work out versus from a scarcity mindset where it's like, you always feel maybe in competition with other people, or you're jealous, or you're worried that you'll be left out, or there's not enough for you, or, you know, it's just like this mindset. Like genuinely operating from, I know things will work out. They always do. And they'll work out exactly how they're supposed to. I journaled about that. And I wrote down, honestly, like manifestations. And we did this whole thing like next to the water. I like spoke it in my water and then I drank my moon water. It was awesome. It was freaking awesome. So I thought, so that was kind of our restorative weekend. So amazing. So woo woo. many tears, many laughs. And I peed in my pants from laughing so hard. I wanted my own deck of Oracle cards. And so we went to this woo-woo store somewhere. And I think we were in Bath, Maine. All those little tiny towns. I don't know. They all kind of blended together. We were supposed to go to Portland, but that was an hour away. So never mind. I went to this woo-woo shop and I got Oracle cards. Now, can you guess the theme of the Oracle cards I got? If you guessed dragon, you guessed correct. I got dragon Oracle cards. Duh. And I thought it would be a fun exercise to pull my own. And this dragon book, this Dragon Oracle Cards guidebook, tells you how to do it. And there's a 3-card spread you can do. I mean, there's a bunch of different spreads. 7 cards feels kind of intimidating. You can do just one. I think I'm going to do 3. I'm laughing, but this shit's serious, okay? So let me read the intro to this book, just so you guys get where I'm coming from. Dragons can protect and care for us, be our friends and companions, and help in a myriad of other ways. They can physically clear lower energies around us and travel with us at night if we go through the astral realms. This means they can burn up frightening emotional memories so that we don't have to experience them again. Where is the dragon? For eons, psychic artists have drawn or painted dragons with remarkable consistency. What we see in dragon pictures is exactly what they look like. Because they are of the angelic kingdom, with open, generous hearts, they have wings, for etheric wings are extensions of the heart center. So I wonder if we're operating from this as a sort of truth. Why are dragons seen as hoarding treasure? I wonder where that stereotype... Who the fuck is stereotyping dragons into greedy monsters? I refuse. You can see different kinds of dragons in these cards, and you may be surprised and delighted by the variety of colors they have and energies they display. Oh my God! Do we have a personal dragon? All of us have a personal dragon who stays with us throughout our incarnations. Guys, everyone has a dragon. Just like our guardian angel, it stays in the background until we acknowledge it. Everybody got a dragon and an angel and a minion. Everyone has their own personal guidance minion. Minion guide. Like a spirit guide or a guardian angel, I have a guardian minion. Our dragon is usually the same element as our current astrological sign. So if I'm a Taurus, that means I have an earth dragon. Does that mean he's brown like poop? Does that mean he's a poop dragon? He's like in the mud and like dung and shit. I don't want an earth dragon. You know what? I'm not going to talk shit on my dragon. I like my earth dragon. Dragons grow as we do, so they change element with us. And this is part of their spiritual growth and learning. If you're an earth sign, you will probably have an earth dragon. Damn it. However, if you need a fire dragon to fulfill your life mission, one will be with you. These rules seem kind of arbitrary. These rules seem like, and then if you need a dragon, you can have one. Like, honestly, I'm kind of getting my life because I needed to hear this. I needed to hear that I have a personal guardian minion dragon. My dragon's yellow and blue and is wearing overalls. Can my dragon be like Zootopia? What does this say? If you need to be more psychic and intuitive in your life, a water dragon will come to you. Dude. Okay, I'm going to manifest a water dragon because I think I need that. If you need to be grounded or to make your ideas come to fruition, your dragon will have earth qualities, period. And for all of you bitches who say I'm Hufflepuff, keep lying. Because I don't think you can be Taurus and Hufflepuff. Like, Taurus has to be Ravenclaw. I have to be at least Ravenpuff, right? Like, what the fuck? I cannot be Hufflepuff if I'm a Taurus. I'm too logical. I'm too, like, reason-oriented. And I can be super emotional. However, I am a Taurus. Whatever. If you need to communicate clearly or inspirationally, an air dragon will be by your side. And your personal dragon may have more than one element. Okay, enough of this. Enough of this shit. We're going to pull one. How do you use the cards? These cards will attune you to the different dragons. They will also offer you guidance about your daily life, your soul mission, your ascension path, and how you can serve the planet. If you have a specific question, mentally ask it. If you don't have a question, ask for general guidance. Okay, I'm going to ask. Let me prep my space right here. And I'll show you guys what I pull. Okay, I'm not going to leave you guys out. Shuffle the cards, then spread them out. Pick a card with your non-dominant hand. Okay, I also, in this place, this little store, I found fairy oracle cards. I feel like that's a little too... I feel like fairy oracle cards, that's for dicking around, right? Like, I'm not really serious about this. I'm just kind of having fun. Like, you bring them to the function, to the party. The dragon oracle cards, that's for, like, serious life business. That's for, like, wait, I'm actually going the fuck through it. Like, I actually need help. How do the tarot girls on TikTok shuffle these? They always look so, like, they'll do one of these. I guess that was easier than I thought it was going to be. But I'm serious. The fairy cards will be like, oh, you know, maybe I'm with friends. We're a little high. The dragon ones, please don't. Hey, please don't touch the dragon cards. Ah, put those down. Those are mommy's. Don't touch mommy's dragon oracle cards. Okay. I'm going to spread these out and I'm going to do the thing where you heat up your hands. Y'all know about this? You heat up your hands to get your energy into your hands and then you select a card. So I'm going to do that. And I wonder what moon is after Taurus. Are there any... If I'm losing any of you guys, you need to lock in, okay? If I'm losing any of you to the woo-woo, I'm going to pull this card and you're going to be amazed. Actually, hold on. Let me set my intention. Universe, tell me what I need to know. It's right here. I think it's this one. Bitch, what the fuck are Earth Dragon? I literally pulled Earth Dragon. After I just talked shit, after I said I don't want a fucking Earth Dragon, the Earth Dragon is exactly what I needed. Are you out of your mind? Clears your path and the land around you. And it's sick. Can you zoom in on that? The Earth Dragon's fucking cool. Clears your path and the land around you. Stay grounded. Be ready to serve. Stuck energy is clearing. You can move forward in life. Holy shit. Okay, let's read about the Earth Dragon. Should I do a 3-card spread? No, let me start here. Guys, this is nuts. Did I not just say? Like, okay, like, can we actually zoom out for a second? That's crazy. Of all the cards, how many cards are in this fucking deck? A billion. Out of 1 billion cards, I pulled the Earth Dragon. No, it's got to be like 44 cards. And I pulled fucking Earth Dragon. And you saw me shuffle them! Okay, sorry, I'm gagged. Earth Dragon is on page 18. Shit, I didn't pull with my non-dominant hand. Whatever, it was meant to be. Fourth dimensional Earth Dragons are brown, the color of the soil. Did I not say that as well? I swear to God, I didn't read this before. They love the planet and the land itself. It was these sturdy dragons who helped to build the original dragon lines that we now call ley lines. So when did the ley lines colonize the dragon? Okay, maybe I skipped that chapter. Part of their service work is to travel along them to clear them when asked to do so. When we send an instruction to the Earth Dragons to work with the ley lines, they can power away under the surface to clear any blockages. This impacts hugely on people and situations in the vicinity. Okay, grammar isn't the... It's okay. They can also help to ground us in our mission in this life. Ooh, I like this. Here's the guidance. It is time to clear unwanted energies that are preventing your life from moving forward. Some of these may be in the earth under your home or office or where you travel. Call on the Earth Dragons and ask them to remove all that is not in accordance with divine light. Now, see, that gets kind of tricky because what if one of the blockages is someone that you really love and care about? That's when it gets tough. Then sense the frequency rising within the land and on your path. This card also suggests you may be called on to do planetary service work, as the Earth Dragons will take the opportunity to cleanse any ley lines you focus on. Take a moment to direct them to clear the planetary grid and visualize the grid glowing and shimmering.
What the fuck?
When you walk, think of the Earth Dragons and connect with them through the Earth. Ask them to ground you and your vision, for this card signifies that they are now boosting your spiritual journey and you are ready to fly. Notice the progress you make. That's T. I like that. I like notice the progress you make, because that, honestly, my friend Camille kept saying that over the weekend. She was like, it's so evident that, like, you've done so much work on specifically, like, decentering men and, like, being on that shit. Like, I genuinely believe I will be okay. I will be okay either way. Like, I really do believe that. And it took me a long time to get there. And a lot of, like, weird changes and also opportunities and moments that have brought me and my friends closer. Because I always say this, like, I don't want to sound like a broken girl boss Pinterest TJ Maxx record. But, like, at the end of the day, no one has you like your girls. And I mean that. A man will always disappoint. A man will shelter you from people that love you in a negative way, will take up all of your emotional energy and give you very little back, if anything at all. Your girls revitalize you. They restore you. They challenge you. They make you better. They call you out when you're on some bullshit. They point out your great qualities and they help you when you're not doing well. I mean, there's nothing truly, like, it's so sad to think about, you know, that fucking thing of, like, is it embarrassing to have a boyfriend now? Yeah, it kind of is. It kind of is. Why is having a boyfriend Republican? That fucking tweet, it's true. And I do know when that shift happened, but the standard has just become so, and I don't mean this as, like, it is impossible, but as the current state of affairs with men stands, it is impossible for a lot of these young men to live up to a very plausible standard. A great man is just the average woman. So, yeah, that's actually period. Earth Dragon. Earth Dragon is, it's grounding me in what actually is important. And what's important is my friendships and how I feel about myself at the end of the day. This is what's coming up for me. This past weekend was very grounding for me because these girls have known me since before the internet shit. You know what I mean? Like, they've seen me through a lot of seasons of life. And me for them as well. So it is very grounding to go back to, girl, we know who you are. You know, not that I'm anything that I'm not, or I'm acting a certain way, but it just is different than how it was. And it was also, I mean, we were in college 7, 8 years ago, coming up on a decade. That's really, really slay. I'm excited to be 40. Not so much for the, like, my back's gonna hurt, but, like, to be 40 with my girls? Oh my God! Okay. Let's pull two more. This episode is sponsored by Cash App. I know y'all will be jealous of my new Cash App card because I personalized it to look like dragon skin. Yeah, wait till I whip that out to pay. Chills. Chills down my spine. One of the coolest things about Cash App is that you can design your own debit card. You can pick from a bunch of different colors and patterns, add your favorite stamps, doodles, or even you and your friends' inside jokes to make it totally unique to you. You can also get exclusive savings on stuff you're already buying, like coffee, boba, video games, and more. And if you're the type who loves concerts, your Cash App card gets you early access to ticket sales for huge tours like Kendrick Lamar and SZA and Sabrina Carpenter. Finally, no need to worry about random monthly charges or minimum balance requirements. Take control of your money today with Cash App. If you're between 13 and 17, you can still sign up. Just ask your parent or guardian for help to open up a Cash App sponsored account. For a limited time, new Cash App customers over 18 years old can earn $10 if they use code THATSMONEY10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. And if you're 13 to 17 years old, request a sponsored account from a parent or guardian, sign up with code THATSMONEY10, and get $10 dropped into your account when you order and activate your Cash App card and send $5 or more to a friend within your first 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Discounts provided by Cash App, a Block, Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. Thanks, Cash App! I don't know if I want to... Let me do it again. Okay, I'm going to reshuffle them. This is honestly gag. Especially when you go from, like, tell me what I need to see. Tell me, show me what I need to hear. Show me when in you. And can I say something? Why is Benson Boone hot? When did he get hot? And I know, whatever. But look at him. Okay. Okay, this feels shuffled to me. Okay, I'm going to spread these out once more. And this time I'm going to pick with my non-dominant hand. Have y'all ever seen a psychic? Do you like that kind of... What are y'all's opinions on psychics? Because I've seen a psychic. I told y'all about it. And that bitch was right. Okay? That bitch really nailed it on the head. And that scares me. And I say bitch as in, like, that's my girl. Okay? Here we go. Okay. She's fucking period. Dusky pink dragon from Andromeda? What the hell? Dusky pink dragon? I got the femme dragon. And she's holding a cricket. Prepares all your chakras to embody higher love. Accept and radiate higher love. Touch others with its flame. Now let's pick one more. This one. I think this top one over here. Silver dragon. What the hell? Silver dragon illuminates your potential with higher light. Access untapped resources. Look into your soul. See higher possibilities. This feels like kind of a throwaway dragon card. Okay. Here's my spread. Let's read about my dragons. Earth dragon was gag. Dusky pink dragon from Andromeda. What the hell is Andromeda? Seventh dimensional dragons. It's not funny. What the hell? Receiving this card indicates that you are ready for higher love. The dusky pink dragons from Andromeda are suggesting it is time for you to carry this luminous light in all your spiritual energy centers. Touch your stellar gateway, soul star, causal, crown, third eye, throat, heart, solar plexus, navel, sacral, base, and earth star chakras in turn, breathing in dusky pink and affirming, I accept and radiate higher love. As you do so, have a sense of these dragons breathing pink into all your chakras. You become a flame of ineffable pink love. Be aware you now have the power to touch everyone you meet with the flame of spiritual love. Know that when you work with the dusky pink dragons from Andromeda, you can make a huge difference to the ascension of the planet. What the hell? They carry the vibration of transcendent love. If we are ready for their light, they circle around us, and when they pour this special energy into our chakras, our aura is illuminated by a glorious pink light. These dragons also work with crickets, who come from the same constellation. That's really sweet. Their song carries the codes of higher love from Andromeda, and their mission is to bathe the natural world in this vibration. Okay, I interpret this as I've done the work. And I'm ready to, I no longer am in a place of, like, I'm giving this person so much of me and, like, I'm empty. Like, truly, that's from a scarcity mindset. I'm going full-blown fucking woo-woo. Y'all need to strap in. I operate from, I gave this person love, and even if it didn't work out, they probably needed that love. Like they needed to bask in the warmth of my light because I am warm and I am light. And if they needed it, it's no love lost to me. Okay. I've changed my thinking on that because I used to be like, hey, I did all this shit for him and he's so fucking ungrateful and he's whatever. Girl, I cut you off. We don't talk anymore. I wish you the best on your way. Go terrorize someone else. Okay. If I was able to crack through even just a little bit and like make you see that you're acting crazy and that I'm a genuine person and you're a psycho, I hope for a second that like at least there was a crack that formed, you know, in this weird facade of like male manipulator. Just drop the act. Like you don't have to be like this. Just be fucking normal. Anyway, I released that. And I have so much more love to give where that comes from. That's what comes up for the dusky pink dragon from Andromeda. Thank you. With her cricket. Silver dragon. Guys, this is awesome. Guys, just freaking awesome. Silver dragon. This is like the longest TikTok tarot reading ever. I can start pulling cards for you guys on TikTok. I wish I could go live. TikTok, if someone from TikTok's watching, can you please unban me from going live? I have things to say to my audience. I have community to build. I have things to say. Jesus. All right. What is it? Silver Dragon. Page 56. I need to give the fairy cards a spin. Illuminates your potential with higher light. Fifth dimensional shimmering silver dragons radiate divine feminine light and gentle qualities. They exude harmlessness, love, peace, tranquility, balance, gentleness, and calmness. If we are ready, they surround our aura in a soft, pure silver light that enables us to retain these divine feminine qualities. They also reflect our true self and highest potential back to us, which is another thing I've kind of been like, what is next for me? You know what I mean? Like, there are so many things I want to do, but I find it hard. It's like the fucking fig tree, it's the fig tree from the bell jar. That whole metaphor of like, there's so many opportunities and choices that I get gridlock. Like, I freeze up and then I don't pick anything. So, yeah. This enables us to see the essence of our soul and discover aspects of ourselves we did not know existed. We are reminded of our divine magnificence and may catch a glimpse of the mighty soul or even monad. I am presence to which we belong. I'm scared to Google that. I'm scared to Google monad. I might just let monad rest. Okay, here's the guidance to my silver dragon. Your fifth dimensional soul blueprint contains the keys and codes of your gifts, talents, wisdom, and powers. Much of this is locked away and unused. Say that. Receiving this card suggests that it is time for some of this potential to be ignited and brought forward into your life. You are ready to reveal yourself and be who you truly can be. Sit quietly and see or sense the shimmering silver dragon who has come to you. I'm seeing it. Can I say something fucked up before I go back into this? Fourth wing? I know, whatever. However you guys feel about that. However, that first time I read Fourth Wing and Tarn showed up, I literally remember finishing that book being like, it is so fucking unfair that I can't have a dragon. It is so fucking, like, literally so unfair that Tarn is just there for her. And, like, she's kind of a brat and she's kind of insufferable. I'm awesome. Why don't I get a dragon? Why don't I get a fucking cool dragon? And Tarn was kind of sexy, by the way. Tarn was sexy. Okay, this kind of like immortal, infinite wisdom, but still kind of, it was giving Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps a little bit. Am I talking, guys, don't be against me in this. Someone has to see what I mean. Like there was a weird sexual, whatever. Anyway, that's who I'm imagining right now. Okay, sexy Tarn silver dragon. Okay. And you know those things where it's like Nick Wilde is a real person and they draw him as a real person. I like those and I like those TikToks. And sometimes I favorite them. Y'all don't know what I'm doing on God's TikTok app. Okay. It's a lot of, again, I'm 16. I never grew up. Sit quietly and see or sense the shimmering silver dragon who has come to you. Allow it to reflect back to you the hidden aspects of your soul and your higher possibilities. This may or may not be a conscious process, but it will inspire you to express your essence and transform your life. Be ready to develop any gifts or qualities that the dragon draws to your attention. You may surprise yourself. Okay, this deck's awesome. Honestly, this is kind of, how much of this is take it or leave it? I will say this spread right here is kind of everything I needed to, like, it's very confirming. It's very affirming. It's inspiring. Okay, I got my earth dragon, my love dragon, and my silver work dragon. It covers pretty much everything. This is awesome. Thank you, Dragon Oracle. Thank you, Dragon Spirit. You're freaking awesome. Okay. I have some things to Google, naturally. Number one, who is Monad? What is Monad? Monad philosophy. As originally conceived by the Pythagoreans, the Monad is therefore supreme being, divinity, or the totality of all things. Whoa. The circled dot was used by the Pythagoreans and later Greeks to represent the first metaphysical being, the monad, or the absolute. The term monad, am I saying that super American? Is it monad? From ancient Greek monos, unity, and monos, alone, is used in some cosmic philosophy and cosmogony to refer to a most basic or original substance. As originally conceived by the Pythagoreans, the monad is therefore supreme being, divinity, and the totality of all things. According to some philosophers, there are infinite monads, which are the basic and immense forces, elementary particles, or simplest units that make up the universe. The Euclidean symbolism of the centered sphere also concerns the secular debate on the existence of a center of the universe. The idea of the monad is also reflected in the demiurge, or the belief of one supreme being that brought about the creation of the universe. I've never heard of any of these terms, even though the concepts are kind of are very basically understood, you know? The basic theories of, like, there was one thing that created the universe. No, it was a cosmic random anomaly. This is science running its course. Like, who fucking knows? I think this whole, like, cosmic philosophy is an interesting way of putting it, because I'm used to seeing it through the lens of religion. And can I just pontificate really quick? Is the religious lens, should we be grateful, like the people who were raised religious, should we be grateful that we at least were given a system to see the world through? Now, however damaging or prejudiced that system is, it was a system nonetheless. And you can spend the rest of your life unlearning your religion. Or I had a friend in college who was not raised religious. And for the rest of his life, I remember him telling me, like, I feel so spiritually empty. Like, I have nothing to go off of. He took so many philosophy classes and, like, you know, the classic white guy, like, I studied Buddhism, I studied Hinduism, I studied this, Catholicism intrigued me, like, all these things. And nothing stuck, because it felt like he was just sampling, like, taste testing cultures. And that was also another interesting thing he said, is this doesn't feel like religion as much as it feels like culture. And then I started to reflect on how little culture I have. Because, I mean, you know, we're from Texas, like, there is a culture there, but that's a complicated gray area of what is American culture. There are unique things to America that only could have happened from the beautiful, huge melting pot that America is, versus without immigrants, like, what is America? So, and I would argue that what makes American culture American is the fact that it's from everywhere. You know, we don't have centuries-old traditions like Celtic traditions or Germanic or Arabic or whatever it is that go back for thousands of years. You know, we don't have that. So I feel like America made do but you miss out on, anyway, back to what I was saying. Seeing the world through no religion almost made him feel more lost than growing up with a religion and leaving it. Because you definitely feel lost then, but you at least have some wobbly legs to stand on. I don't know. A very interesting question. And a lot of these concepts I feel like are better had person to person. These conversations are better had person to person. But still, fun to pontificate on. We have about 10 minutes left. I want a book club really quick. I finished Perfume by, who wrote that Perfume book? Patrick Süskind. This was published in 1985. This book is crazy. This book is crazy. It was a quick read. My friend told me to read it. And I was actually gifted this by a professor at one of the schools that I did a college show at. She and I had a great conversation backstage just about books, whatever. And she came with gifts for me. How fucking sweet. How sweet is that? And it was her personal copy. It was used. It was written in. And she wrote it to me, to Brittany. Hope you enjoy. What the fuck? People are so kind. I finally read it. Bitch, gag. Gag, what the hell? This is one of the, this book does not fit into any genre that I personally have ever read or am acquainted with. And by the way, I am going to go to the bookstore after this. So I just got really excited. I get to go to the bookstore. I'm going to go to the bookstore. I'm going to get a bookmark and I'm going to get a new book. Because I like to match the bookmarks that I'm reading. The book that I'm reading, I like to match the bookmark to it. So when I was reading, or when I'm going to read Edgar Allan Poe, The Fall of the House of Usher, I got this Edgar Allan Poe bookmark. Very excited about that. I have a Sherlock Holmes bookmark that I use when I read Sherlock Holmes. I have this Dark Academia one I just got that has like Memento Mori on it. Very, very cute. And by that, I mean an actual Memento Mori of like the skull and the, you know, whatever. And then, oh, when I was reading Red Rising, I had this like 3D space bookmark. I love that shit. It's the little things in life. Do more whimsical things for yourself like that. I love that bullshit. This book, I have never read anything like it. It's a thriller. It's like a murder story. It literally is called Perfume, The Story of a Murderer. But it's not what you think. Because I was like, oh, it's fucking, you know, true crime or like historical crime fiction. It's none of those things. And as an olfactory sort of, you know, I have an interest in fragrance and all this. This was such a crazy, it was a crazy book. I would really recommend it. I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads. Kept my attention inside the mind of someone who is so extraordinarily gifted that the world doesn't know what to do with him and in turn makes him into a monster. Not to go back to Frankenstein, but something similar, you know, of like someone who could have been so pure of heart and such a force of good in the world had the world not corrupted him first, right? Like an interesting chicken and the egg question. Okay, what am I reading right now? Wuthering Heights! Wuthering Heights! Wuthering Heights! Wow, this is a book. And I got this from this copy from a secondhand bookstore. So it's kind of beat to hell. But y'all, this, it smells like old bookstores. And this was published, this edition was published in 2003, 22 years ago. This is 22 years old. And I mean, it's just been beat to hell. But how cool is that it's secondhand? And this was originally published in 1847. 1847. And this is set, the story takes place around 1778. What the fuck? And it's accessible. I am 94 pages into this. I think it's like 300. This copy I have is like 307 pages, but it's tiny. Very, very, very not what I was expecting, okay? Doesn't Bella read Wuthering Heights and Twilight? Like, I know that they tried to make, or Stephanie Meyer tried to make some comparisons maybe between Wuthering Heights and the Twilight story. I get it. But this is so not what I was expecting. This is a gothic, like, I don't know if it would be considered horror. It's definitely a gothic romance, but it's fucking weird. I don't know. I'm really getting my... It took me a second, I will be honest. Took me a second to get back into it because coming off of Perfume, you know, like when you read any classic, it's like, whoa, let me situate myself within this world, because the writing is definitely 1840s. And at times, this one has a little disclaimer in the back, which is actually really, really nice, of notes to the text. It says, Wuthering Heights was first published in London in 1847. It appeared as the first two volumes of a three-volume set, the third volume of which was Agnes Grey by Emily Bronte's younger sister, Anne. Subsidized by their authors, these volumes appeared as the work of Ellis and Acton Bell to sell it more, right? So you had to publish under a man's name or no one would give it a shot. Also, people fucking hated Wuthering Heights when it came out. And now look, because she was a woman. I genuinely, don't even get me started. A second commercial edition of Wuthering Heights alone appeared in 1850 with Emily Bronte's name on the title page. It was edited by Charlotte Bronte, who brought Joseph's speech closer to standard English. Joseph is a servant. He's one of the servants in this book. And he speaks in a very Northern English dialect. Like, and she writes it phonetically, which is fucking crazy. Like writing it down as it sounds. And even I fancy myself to be a bit more acquainted with the variety of English, the myriad of English dialects, better than the average American. But that I am nowhere near like being, I've never been immersed in it. You know what I mean? This is all purely from, I'm a fan of people and things from, you know, like Sam Fields is from North Shields. Like Sam Fender is from North Shields. That accent is very particular. Like the Geordie accent is very particular. The Mancunian accent is very particular. Liverpudlian, very different from Essex, from, you know, like how that differs from like, how would you describe how K1 talks? Or even like Leah's boyfriend, Miguel. His accent is very specific to, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, she wrote one of these characters phonetically how someone from the North would talk. And it's very confusing. And so when I found, I was like, what are you doing? There's translations. It was awesome. The present text reprints the 1847 edition with minor emendations. Like most editors since 1911, its editor assumes that it is far closer to Emily Bronte's intentions than the 1850 edition, though we know that she was not satisfied with it. The following notes include translations of dialect and notation of a few emendations of the 1847 text that may have substantive ramifications. So you go through and I found myself referencing that a lot. I highlighted something that I wanted to share. And yes, I highlight my books. Okay, so there's an admission. If you haven't read this, I'm not going to spoil it, obviously, but it is a love story. There is a line where she says, and this is the famous one that everybody's like, oh, Wuthering Heights. And I was like, oh, I'm on that page. It would degrade me to marry Heathcliff now, so he shall never know how I love him. And that, not because he's handsome, Nelly, but because he's more myself than I am. Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. Fuck you. Fuck you. Here's another one. You know how in one of the last episodes, I actually read a passage from Perfume where he's talking about sitting in a church. And he's high and he's having like an egomaniac episode. He thinks himself bigger and better than God. And he's sitting in this church, taking in like the olfactory senses of his environment, which is like the incense and the myrrh and whatever. And he's noting like this shit is cheap and it's a blend. It's not even real. It's synthetic. It's fake. It's like it smells like shit in here. And like this stupid stench of humans everywhere, butt sweat and pit sweat and all this. He's sitting here thinking, how much better am I than all of these people? And that kind of, to me, I guess, verges on like an egomaniac can, the only reason he's having that sort of revelation, can I talk? The only reason he's having that revelation is because he is a genius. albeit a very misled genius, but he is very smart. And he's sitting here having this egomaniac, like, monologue. And I found that really intriguing. Well, here's something else. This is something, a part of Wuthering Heights that kind of had a similar effect on me where I was like, how interesting is that? And it's also this kind of tongue-in-cheek, like, yeah. I highlighted this because this is someone talking about, it's a very religious society that they're living in. And someone's like, you're going to burn in hell or something similar. Like, you're going to rot in hell. And the guy who's receiving the insult's like, okay, I don't give a fuck. That's basically the energy of this passage I'm about to read. He says, have mercy on your own soul, I said, endeavoring to snatch the glass from his hand because he's drinking. Then the other guy says, not I. On the contrary, I shall have great pleasure in sending it to perdition to punish its maker. Talking about his own soul. Have mercy on your own soul. Not I. On the contrary, I shall have great pleasure in sending it to perdition to punish its maker. Here's to its hearty damnation. And he slams the drink back. Like talking about your soul, like it. Your soul's pronounced it itself. He was like, fuck my soul, bitch. I don't give a fuck. Give me the brandy. Give me the brandy. We live in hell. Fuck my dumbass immortal soul. Not my problem. I laughed. Anyway, Wuthering Heights. Way darker than I thought. Way, way, way darker. Which I like. Because I'm really into, I've been, you know, honestly, it all kind of started with a picture of Dorian Gray. I don't know how far back I read that, but damn. That shit kind of changed my life. And then I went to Ireland, saw all of the Oscar Wilde shit. Damn. They didn't understand you, King. They didn't understand you. And you were kind of, you know, sexting with teenagers, which is a little crazy, but, you know, they didn't get you. Hey, you were kind of a pervert. But they did. Well, maybe they did get you. Maybe they kind of pinned you, right? Who knows? Okay, Wuthering Heights, I'm about a third of the way through. I'll keep y'all updated. I'm sure by next time I talk to you, I'll be done with it. And I think that'll do it for me. Please be on the lookout for the Royal Court coming out this week. Broski.shop for merch. And keep in mind, something exciting coming in the next 3 weeks. We've got a Patreon. If you want these episodes ad-free, go to the Patreon. Just do it. Y'all complained at me. There it is. There it is. We have an official Broski Nation playlist if you want to go listen to that on Spotify. And with that, here are my songs of the week. All of Lux by Rosalía. Don't. I will get to it. You got to give me a second. Let me digest it and then I will get to it. We will do a full Rosalía breakdown because, oh my God, I posted on my Instagram story 2 days ago when it came out and I was like, this genuinely, there are not enough words to convey how deeply in tune with herself she is. And it really comes across in this album. Like, she has spent so much time with her own soul. And this is, to me, like, there's nothing better than when you hear a piece of music and you're like, this is a piece of them. This is a piece of her that she is so kind enough to share with us. The lyrics, I need to dive into the lyrics a little bit more because holy fuck. I'm definitely going to get a Lux tattoo. I just need to figure out what it is. I need to figure out which line is the most impactful. I'll get back to you guys on that. Some of my favorites off the album, though, are... I keep going back to Porcelana. Porcelana is fantastic. Mio Cristo Piange Diamanti. That song makes me cry, but it's also a banger. De Madruga. That's a classic Rosalía song. Like, she's done that live before. Like, I know the fucking choreography she does to it. Like, that's a classic. Sauvignon Blanc, very cute. Very, like, I love being a girl. I was crying on the plane. La Rumba del Perdón. Wow, wow, wow. Magnolias, that shit made me cry. And why did she end both Motomami and Lux with two songs about flowers? Okay, much to discuss. Sakura on the other album, Magnolias on this one. Sexo, Violencia y Llantas, fantastic. And La Perla. La Perla's fucking tea. I need to dive into it more. And Berghain, that's honestly to me... That was the correct single, which is rare. Honestly, when I listen to someone's album and I'm like, you picked that as the single? Why? And I guess I get it, but usually I'm talking about with this album, absolutely, that was the correct single. Like, it fully encapsulates everything and it's a good taste test. I just, wow, Another one that I have been listening to a lot lately is, what's that song by Ray? Well, I'm still on my McGee shit. That song by Five Star Hotels by Ray and Mahalia. I love that song. That's been on. And then just K1 in general. Okay, I think that's it for me this week, you guys. Thanks for reading my Dragon Oracle with me. I'm going to go pull from my fairy deck. When is too much? Like, when do you pull? I mean, I guess you can go into kind of like spiritual psychosis and be like, I need to pull every fucking, I need to pull multiple times a day. I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to pull when I feel like, what do I need to know? Okay, thanks, guys. I will talk to you next week. Bye.